For where your treasure is, there also will your heart be. With these words, Jesus continues urging us to seek the treasure in heaven versus lusting for earthly things. And today he puts the icing on the cake, so to speak, by reminding us that there are eternal consequences to our earthly actions. Our ultimate treasure is the eternal joy of heaven, right? So that should be the primary focus of our hearts. In order to drive home this point, Jesus uses some great parables, and both have to do with servants being properly prepared when their master returns. The first parable provides a wonderful model for Christian living. "Gird your loins and light your lamps," Jesus proclaims, "and be like servants who await their master's return from a wedding, ready to open immediately when he comes and knocks." Gird your loins. What is he talking about here? What does this mean? Is he talking about putting on some underwear? No, that's not what he's getting at. He's talking about being ready, about not falling asleep spiritually so that you are not caught off guard. He wants you to always be prepared for spiritual battle. Okay, so how do we do it? Many of you know what I'm going to say. The three-legged stool, of course. The three-legged stool. It starts, of course, with the sacraments. That's the first and most important leg of the stool. Mass every Sunday and on holy days. Confession regularly. And then the other sacraments as needed. That's the first and most important leg. Then a life of daily prayer. We have to open up our hearts daily to drink in the goodness of the Lord, to process all the goodness that he gives us in the sacraments, and to better understand who he is and who we are. Then we better understand his will for us. And then comes the third leg. We go out and serve others according to his will. So that's how we stay prepared. Gird your loins. Light your lamps. Now, it's a similar message here. Don't fall asleep. Don't slip into the darkness. You want to have your lamp always lit. But what kind of light is he talking about? He's not talking about sunlight that we can see shining through the chapel. He's not talking about candlelight or electric light. The light of Christ that penetrates all darkness, physical, spiritual, any and all darkness, always leading you down the right path, the path to true fulfillment now and to heaven in the life to come. And then he refers to a wedding. Now, why a wedding? Out of all the things he could have mentioned, he could have talked about a journey, a dinner, a hunting trip, but he chose a wedding. And not just any old wedding. The Master is returning from the eternal wedding feast in heaven. The Mass celebrated throughout all time. And the Master's coming back at the end of time, here on earth. Christ himself is the Master. And he wants you to come with him and celebrate for eternity. And just look at what happens if you are prepared when he returns. He will wait on you. Did you catch that? He's going to put on a serving apron. He's going to serve you. This is absolutely astonishing. This is who God is. It's astounding. We basically do what he told us to do. So, okay, Paddock, you did the bare minimum. You made it to heaven. And he's rejoicing. And he's going to wait on me? That's unbelievable. But that's who he is. It's marvelous. The trouble is that you and me often get tired, distracted, or lazy, and therefore aren't always well prepared. You might think that you'll always have time to shore up the gaps, but you don't know when the time will come. So this, brothers and sisters, is risky business. It also begs the question, why doesn't the Lord just tell us the time? Is he playing hard to get here? What is this? There's at least two good reasons that I've been able to ascertain. First, if we knew the time, and let's just say, okay, Jesus said, okay, March 15th, 2025, that's when it's going to go down. That's when the end of the earth is going to come. The Master is going to return. Well, then what he knows who we are. He knows us humans. And what many of us would do, we'd slack off for now, right? We'd have fun. We'd go and check off our things on our bucket list and then scramble to prepare as the time approaches. Then the line for confession would be from here all the way to Three Forks, right? But many of us simply wouldn't be able to make the necessary preparations in the short time window. And God doesn't want that. He doesn't want that at all. And that brings us to the second good reason. This is the best way to live, day in and day out. And this is exactly what God wants for you, the absolute best. Every day now and then in eternity when this life is over. And if you live this way, then it doesn't matter when the end comes. The end being either the end of your life or the end of the world, whichever comes first, doesn't matter. You will have nothing whatsoever to fear. But none of this is guaranteed. You and I must be ready. That's what Jesus is saying. Be ready. Now, the second parable that he uses reinforces this same message and reminds us to not let God's gifts to us go to waste. Not only do we benefit greatly from putting these good things to use according to his will, seeking the things above, but he expects us to do this so that we can help many others to seek the treasure in heaven as well. And this is when we exhibit the self-emptying love of Christ, demonstrated, of course, par excellence on the cross. He didn't benefit at all. We benefit. He calls us to live that way too. And this is how we stay awake and vigilant. But if we abuse God's gifts, then we harm others and ourselves, which leads to trouble, maybe eternal trouble. Today's first and second readings provide wonderful examples of the ancient Jews avoiding these pitfalls and longing for heaven, even against seemingly impossible odds, and without ever tasting the goodness of heaven like us Christians have. In the second reading, we encounter Abraham, our father in faith, who hoped against hope and followed God's call into unknown lands amidst unknown dangers. He trusted that this path, this great adventure, was indeed leading him ever closer to the city whose architect and maker is God. To be sure, this was a very long, winding, and difficult path. Yet Abraham persevered, and God did not leave him disappointed. We're his benefactors now. We're his descendants, right? Many centuries later, after what we heard about Abraham, we find the faithful Jews in Egypt hoping and trusting in the Lord on the eve of Passover. What a dynamic moment in Jewish history. But they must have been thinking, is this really going to happen? You know, after all these 400 plus years of slavery and these terrible things happening in Egypt, then all of a sudden Moses comes along and, you know, we're going to charge off into the desert. It might have sounded a little bit like a little much, right? But here they are. They're offering the holy sacrifice, the Paschal lamb. They're trusting in the Lord, doing what he's asked them to do. And although we don't see it in today's first reading, we know that God came through for them. Led them through the Red Sea, led them eventually into the Promised Land. Friends, yes, we are all benefactors of this path. Our forefathers, indeed our heroes in the faith, have opened up for us. Moreover, the ultimate hero, Jesus Christ, has since brought all of this to fulfillment through the ultimate Passover, from this life to heaven. And the greatest adventure possible awaits you. Jesus beckons. So heed his call for you to journey with him. Gird your loins and light your lamps. Set your hearts on the treasure of heaven and follow him diligently into human flourishing as you taste more and more of the very eternal gifts you strive for.